Blog Talk Radio.
Apocalypse 1:14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Doce tribos baila mis hermanos. Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Doce tribos baila mis hermanos.
Black Wall Street, ball out. I buy all gear till I'm all out. Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about. Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out. Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till I move. Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes. To the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes. It's a new moon and I'm feeling great. Off on time and I'm never late. Got my brothers with me and they all straight. Good wine, good food on my dinner plate. Yeah, we just chillin', having fun. Sayonara, old world, cause you done. God got me shining like the sun. I ain't always shining with the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscle them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your
body. Jesus Christ is moreno.
Yeah, we call the shots, tell them we the king. I like the suspense, leave them guessing. Pay them losing no mind, why you stressing? Devil always trying, he be testing. But Father steady raining down the blessings. Shout out to the sisters with the woolly hair. Natural style, rock it anywhere. Fashion unlocked, people gotta stare. You ain't usual, now you something rare. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. You know you styling, and you know you fly. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. To the most high.
Who not sit like ice in a freezer? Who not drink tequila and sip margarita? Don't stay behind, get with the procedure. If you don't repent, then it's hasta la vista.
Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your
body.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Doce tribos baila mis hermanos. Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Doce tribos baila mis hermanos.
Shalom, shalom. Most High in Christ, bless you all. Welcome to the Latin Lost History Show. I'm your host, Officer Amari. Today, joining me,
Soldier Shai, shalom.
Soldier Nehemiah, shalom, Israel.
All right, again, welcome to the Native Latin Black Lost History Show. We're here every single Wednesday night, 8:30 Mountain Time. We're also here on Mondays.
8:30 Mountain Time for the Spanish radio show.
And you can also catch us on the Sabbath every single Saturday. We're coming to you live at 10 a.m., all right? Before we start, the caller number is 516-531-9797. Again, the caller number is 516-531-9797. Feel free to call in with any questions, comments, or concerns. But before we start and reveal the topic, let's go ahead and get Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 3. The ox knoweth his own.
So we start with this scripture every single week here on Wednesday night. Our show is entitled The Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. So we go to the scripture to exactly expound upon what it means to have our history lost. Read again.
The ox knoweth his owner.
So the Lord speaks to us in similitudes, all right? He says one thing, but he's referring to another. He says the ox, which is a unintelligent animal, it knows who owns it. So read on.
And to ask his master's query.
So to ask another dumb animal, the donkey. Now the Most High is comparing you Israelites to a jackass, all right, you so-called native Latins and blacks. He says, as dumb as the jackass is, it still knows its homeland. Read on.
But Israel,
you natives, Latins, and blacks, read.
Does not know.
You don't know who owns you, nor do you know your homeland. Read.
My people does not consider.
Nor do we even consider that the greatest history ever known to man pertains to us. Your history did not start in the transatlantic slave trade. It did not start with the conquistadors conquering the so-called Mexicans and the other Latin tribes in the 1400s. Your history starts in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. We have the greatest history, and we have the greatest lineage. So that's what we do every single time we broadcast. For those that may be listening that are already in the repenting process, all praises, we encourage you to share these podcasts with those that are non-believers that you may be in contact with. So with that, today's topic is called The True Understanding of John 3:16, What Pastor Won't Tell You. The true understanding of John 3:16, what pastor won't tell you. Now, I can tell you, me for instance, prior to the truth, I never followed any organized religion, whether it be Catholicism, Christianity, whatever. But I'll tell you what, though, I knew me John 3:16.
Right.
I knew John 3:16, and when I heard it or when I read it, it felt so good.
Oh, man.
It just felt so good. It was on bumper stickers, right? They had it on the screens at football games. Mm. You know, you're just a proud American.
When I came out here, right, I'm new to Phoenix, Arizona, and I was going to try to do selling security alarms for homes, right? I went to this house, and this Judah brother, so-called African-American, he had the biggest John 3:16 sticker on his truck.
Gosh.
The biggest John 3:16. And that's when I first started learning the truth. So I said, is that a Bible verse? He said, yeah, for God to love the world, that whosoever. And I was like, oh, okay.
You know what? I mean, I get it. You know, I get it from the Christianity standpoint that it makes you feel good because that's what Christianity is. It's nothing but a drug to compensate what we lack as a people. And lack as a people is our identity.
Mm-hmm.
We lack confidence because we look at the nations thriving and we see our slums and ghosts. So I get it.
Mm.
It basically, the way Christianity, which is white supremacy, for those that may be listening,
that's
Christianity
right.
is nothing more than the ultimate form of white supremacy.
That's right.
But anyways, the reason why our people would love John 3:16, you know why? Because it makes them feel equal to the so-called white man.
Mm. Just the white man. Not
that's
Aaron,
what it is. That's
not
what
the
it
Chinese.
Is. It says God so loved the world, so that includes me and my oppressor.
Uh-huh.
Mm. That makes us now equal.
Right.
But you know what? Sometimes that makes us actually go away from the Bible because I know I had a feeling when I felt Christianity wasn't right and I didn't know anything about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Then it made me look at 3:16 like, is this Bible even real? Because I don't go to the kingdom with my oppressor.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Mm.
Christianity teaches you. You know what? You do whatever you're told. All right. You be a good slave here.
Right.
And then when you die, then you'll get rewarded. But then it's like you said, inheriting the same blessing as the people that are ruling over me right now, that makes no sense.
Exactly.
It makes no sense, you know.
But see, brother, there are some people that are bad and racist, but some people, they're nice, brother.
you know what? And we're going to dispel all those idiocracies tonight. Let's start with Romans 3, verse 3. Before we get to John 3:16, we're going to bring on some scriptures, all right? Because you natives, Latins, and blacks, all right, those that subscribe to being Puerto Rican, Mexican, Haitian, Jamaican, African-American, so on and so forth, all right, Native American, you are the Israelites the Bible speaks of. All right, you are God's chosen people. Salvation is open to you and only you, and Christ will return and save only those of you that come back, keep God's laws, and the faith of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ.
That's right.
Romans 3, verse 3. Let's start with there.
The book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 3. For what if some did not believe?
So this is the question, all right, because I guarantee that a lot of people that may be hearing this say, no, what do you mean? What do you mean that only Black, Hispanics, and Native Americans are God's chosen people? So what if some don't believe? Read on.
For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?
Shall their unbelief, so shall you saying, no, that's racist, or no, not my God, not my Jesus. Is that going to make what this Bible says change anything? Absolutely not. Everything the Bible says has, is, and will come to pass. The scripture cannot be broken. It's just up to us that are in a repenting, and we say repenting because no one's repented, all right? If that's the case, then change your name to Jesus Cristo and get us in the damn kingdom already.
Right.
But if that's the case, then you're perfect, and then we can all get the kingdom. But you not believing what the Bible says, because everyone says they believe the Bible until you actually read the Bible, and then all of a sudden now it's, oh, man wrote that book.
Right.
Man wrote that book. Right, exactly. That's what it is. But hey, Christianity is atheism, but they don't really understand that. But read on.
Shall their unbelief make the God without effect?
Read.
God forbid.
Meaning no. No matter how much you just, no, that just messes up my tradition. No, that's not what Pastor taught me. He taught me God loves everybody. God's love. The same God that killed everybody on the earth saved Noah, his three sons, and their wives.
They don't understand that the Most High already killed the whole earth before. He can do it again.
Right, exactly.
And this time with fire.
Someone told me.
More fire.
Someone told me. He said, nah, I can't believe that God only chose one particular nation. And before we get to John 3:16, we're going to get those scriptures too, just to put it in the thoughts and minds of the people that may be listening, that you are above all people. But he said, no, because that limits God's power. And said, no, that's actually what makes him an actual powerful God, the fact that he can choose his own people.
Exactly.
And you looking for windows to get out of being God's chosen people, that shows that you are still suffering from the Willy Lynn syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
When you start to feel compassion for your oppressor. But read on.
God forbid. Yay. Let God. True.
So we're going to let God be true, and we're going to go precept upon precept.
That's right.
And God's word, that way, nothing that the Bible says, you could refute.
But let God be true, but every man a liar.
Every man is a liar. What I say does not matter. What Soldier Ashiah says, it doesn't matter. What Soldier Nehemiah says, it does not matter. What matters is what the word of God says. But here's the key. In order to understand the Bible, you have to keep the commandments.
Right.
In order to understand how to read the Bible, you got to go precept upon precept.
Mm.
They don't do that in Christianity. Now you can read from Genesis to Revelations to get a history, but it's written like a big Rubik's Cube. You got to go precept upon precept in order to unlock it. Read on.
As it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy sight.
As it is written. So that's how we're going to go through it. As it is written. 2 Peter 1, verse 20, all right? And anytime you guys got any precepts that pop into your head, feel free to bring them out, all right? We're going to just flow with this. Again, the title is The True Understanding of John 3:16, What Pastor Won't Tell You. Because when the truth comes out, guess what? That affects their pockets. That affects my money. He don't care that you're pulling up on the city bus, as long as his Mercedes-Benz is paid for still.
2 Peter 3,
1:20.
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20.
2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20.
This is for those out there that may be saying, no, that's your interpretation of it. That's how you understand it. The Bible covers everything. Read.
Knowing this first.
So knowing this first, all right, this is the first thing that you got to understand, those that may be listening,
This is not our word. This is God's word. And read on.
That no prophecy is of scripture, of the scripture is of any interpretation.
No, read again. Read it right.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
There's no private interpretations when we come out with this Bible. We don't come with our feelings, emotions, and what, you know what, I
that's
think,
right.
I think this. No. That's why I said we go precept upon precept. We let God be true and every man a liar. There's no such thing as a private interpretation. That's what you get when you go to T.D. Jakes Church, to Creflo Dollar's Church, to any of these Sunday churches that were taught in theology school by their oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
That's their own interpretation. They give you two scriptures, right, and sing and dance for an hour, and then it's let's bring out Malachi and make them feel bad about not giving to you know,
and then
while that high is still fresh in them, let's make them give tithes and take their money, and then
and you know what?
In service.
When I was doing the Christianity, I was in the world heavy. I used to party, right? So I started doing Christianity. I wanted to get myself right. I went to the church, and then they start real high, like dun, dun, dun. They start dancing real, you know what I mean, at a high altitude, you know what I mean? They're singing and dancing, rejoicing, and then they bring it down low. You know what I mean? They start crying, and then sorrowful, and then they bring it back up. That's like the club again, man.
That's like what they do in like movies, right?
That's
in certain scenes, they'll have certain music that plays on your emotions and everything else. It's the exact same thing.
No, it is.
It's nothing but theatrics. That's all it is. It's a joke.
Man.
It's a joke, but that's all right, though, because the Most High woke up as true prophets here in the last days.
It's heavy, man.
All right, read on with that.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Read on.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man.
So it wasn't a man that just sat down and said, you know what, let me just predict in 2,000 years from now that these mass amounts of people will go into cargo slave ships into slavery. All these Christian apologists out there that are rising up and trying to refute what we bring out with the scriptures, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if you actually really believed in God, then you wouldn't try to say anything anyways, because you would lean on that scripture in Acts where it says, if it be of God, then no one can overthrow it. But if
right.
it be of man, then it shall be overthrown.
Right.
Have faith in God that it's not of God. But guess what? This is of God. All right, but it said it didn't come by the will of man. Read.
But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
So it was the Holy Ghost, all right, that moved these men to write the book of Isaiah and Ezekiel and the different prophets, all right. And it was the spirit of Paul and Peter and everything else. It was the Holy Ghost that moved their hands to write the books.
And also, something important in that scripture that I like, it says holy men of God. Some of our native, our Latin, and our black brothers and sisters may be thinking that a pastor is a holy man.
Right, right, right.
Can we read Romans 7 to 12 on what's holy, how you say holy? Can
right.
we get that
quick? Yeah, bring that up.
Because Pastor Porchop, like officer was saying, is not holy. We're going to read out of the scriptures.
The book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore, the law is holy.
What's holy?
The law is holy.
The law is holy. So if your pastor is not keeping God's commandments, he is not the holy man of God.
That's right.
Understand that.
That's right.
So that's an imagination we got to cast down out of our people's minds.
All right. Actually, you know, speaking of casting out imaginations, let's go and get that. 2 Corinthians 10. Look at that. That's the spirit moving.
That's the spirit moving.
You know what? And they'll say, nah, you know, we do keep the commandments. You know, we keep the two great commandments. Right?
Can I hug him? Well, no.
I'm telling you, you line up 10 Christians. It don't matter if they're apostolic or Baptist or Methodist. You know, it doesn't matter what organ religion they subscribe to. You ask them something like that, how do you love God? Then you get 10 different answers every single time.
Right.
When the Bible is so self-explanatory,
mm-hmm.
it tells you how to love. It tells you what faith is. It tells you what grace is.
And we just read that the scripture that the Holy Ghost moved the spirit, you know what I mean?
Right.
The will, the holy man of God. You don't have to go to theology school to understand the Bible. Nowhere in the scripture says study, go to college. No, it says study to show that self approved. But guess what? Psalms 111 says, hey, keep the commandments, get understanding.
That's funny you said that, you know why? Because just recently someone asked me, well, what theology school did you go to? Who was giving you license to teach the Bible the way you do? And I was like, the Lord did. And then he's like, oh, okay, holier than thou. I'm like, no, bro. You go to John, it tells you, for you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you.
That's right. That's right.
So in the midst of all the sin that I used to be a part of, just to know that the Lord chose me to come wake up the 12 tribes of Israel is such a humbling, it's such a humbling thing. It gives me chills, and it's a blessing. So when I say the Lord ordained me to do it, I say that with confidence because that's what the scripture says. All right, but read that real quick.
The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God.
So our weapons are not carnal. We're not picking up guns and saying, let's start a revolution and go fight against our oppressor. Because at the end of the day, we have nothing that can go against satellites and nuclear warfare. All right. We ran out of bullets, then we have to go to our oppressor to go get bullets. That makes no sense. All this, hey, let's pick up arms and fight against them. You're going nowhere because God said what?
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
They're not carnal, read on.
But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
So one of the strongholds, and which is why we're bringing out tonight, John 3:16.
Right.
All right. The Council of Churches meets up every year, and they come up with a new flavor of the year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Whether it be the prosperity doctrine, or it be bringing out John 3:16. That's one of the strongholds that has a lot of people that are going to choose death rather than life.
Right.
Read on.
Casting down imagination.
We have to cast down the imagination that the whole world is talking about every single person in it. The whole world is talking about the world of Israel. Read.
And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God.
Anything that goes against the knowledge of God. Homosexuality goes
right.
against the knowledge of God.
Exactly.
Saying that pork is white meat. Saying that, oh, these are women's pants. When the Most High clearly said, don't wear that which pertains to a man.
Right.
Saying that the laws are done away with.
Sister, if those are women's pants, then why is there a zipper in the front of them?
Exactly. What are you pulling out?
Exactly. Read on.
And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Bringing everything to the obedience of Christ. And that's what being born again really means. It means to really, truly learn how to live your life all over again. The way you eat, the way you dress, the way you speak to somebody else, the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture says a foolish thought is sin.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
have to reprogram your mind on how you think even. And that's what it starts with, things like John 3:16. Because it wasn't hard for me to believe that John 3:16 wasn't talking about everybody. Because
yeah.
because I wanted to believe that my people were better.
Right.
You know? But at the same time, again, that's why I say I get it from their perspective. Because they've been destroying slavery. You want something, Sophie?
Yeah, what's that one in Thessalonians, I think, about the God puts us sleep?
2:10.
Can I get that right away?
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 10.
Right. Let me get that. Because it sounds, when you read John 3:16, it sounds like, you know what I mean, it's talking about the whole world.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely sounds good.
It sounds good.
It's a feel good story.
It does. It sounds like, damn, it's a Chinese.
You know what it is though? You know what it really is? Have you guys seen that movie, Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
Right. You know how they come back against Dallas Carter right at the very end? They're like,
right.
Oh my goodness, they're going to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he stops on the 1 yard line, and then they lose the game. That's what it is, man. That's exactly what it is. It's a feel good story, but guess what? They're going to fall short 1 yard in zone.
And not make the touchdown.
And then not get the kingdom. That's what it is. But yeah, bring that up.
This is the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth.
Meaning the commandments.
That they might be saved.
Uh-huh.
And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, shall believe a lie.
That's John 3:16. It sounds like
right.
the whole world, whosoever, the world, but then you don't keep the commandments, you're not getting understanding. So when I came into this truth, precept upon precept, I was like, dang, how do you do it?
Right.
It's heavy, man. This book is so heavy.
It said with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, right?
Mm.
In any way that you can be deceived through sin,
mm-hmm.
that's what the oppressor is going to do. All right, they spend trillions of dollars a year to keep you so-called natives, Latin, blacks in sin. Because
right.
as long as you're in sin, they can continue to reign over you. But it said, for this cause, for what cause? Going against the commandments of God,
exactly.
choosing the philosophies of man. It said, okay, for this cause, for you choosing life, arming death rather than life, then with strong delusions. Like the soldier brought up, John 3:16 is a strong delusion.
Heavy delusion. Heavy, man.
It's a strong delusion.
I think that's like the one. You know, Israelites go up there and you see, brother, John 3:16.
Okay, I mean, I've been the truth now about 6 years. No lie, I'm not even like trying to like throw out a big number, but it's probably been like hundreds of times where someone's, or even like on flyer missions, you know, you probably hear it hundreds and thousands of times, literally. John 3:16, someone just walks away real quick. No one wants to stay to hear the edification. Satan wants to just come. Throw a bomb in real quick and then pop smoke and leave.
So this is just like a past one, so I don't know if it's last one or the one before. Literally, I asked one of Jake brothers, Jake being Israel, for listeners out there, but I asked him, how do you get the kingdom? This brother said John 3:16.
Damn, bro, terrible.
Was that that Levi brother?
No, it was a different guy.
That's almost as bad as someone telling me that his nationality was he was a blood. It just gets worse and worse.
It does.
Our people are crazy. But from there, let's get Isaiah 29 and verse 13. Continuing on, we're building up a little bit before we get to John 3:16. Before we come with the
fire,
with the actual smashes on John 3:16.
Fire, fire.
All right. Isaiah 29 verse 13. All right. Because common sense. All right. You would think a person would ask himself, okay, if we were in slavery for 400 years and we weren't allowed to read or write, otherwise we'd be killed, then how did we learn the Bible? How do we learn anything? We learn it through our oppressors. Read this.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me.
Because that's what our people are famous for, right? Their religion in those churches every single Sunday, all right? Still smelling like alcohol from the club the night before, all right? Probably still wearing the same dress from the night before, all
right?
It says, as much as our people draw near him with their mouth and their lips to honor him, oh, everyone says, I love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We're all quick to say that, right? I'm washed in the blood. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus and the Lamb. I don't need a man because I'm married to the Lamb.
Damn.
Good.
Read on.
But have removed their hearts far from me.
When the Bible talks about your hearts, it's referring to your mind, all right? Your thoughts. It says you remove your mind far from God. Why? Because you like to sing and dance that you love God, but when it comes down to actions, then our people are absent. Read on.
And their fear for me.
Their fear, meaning you get Latins and blacks who are the Israelites, your fear toward God, read.
Is taught. By the precepts of men.
It's taught by those that held us in captivity. All right. Whether it be you learn Islam, whether it be you learn Catholicism, whether it be you learn Buddhism, whatever the case may be. In this particular episode, we're going to go over John 3:16, which is heavy in Christianity. But you learn the understanding of John 3:16 by the precept of men, not by the precept of God. But operated the Most High, he said, I will send you pastors according to my heart.
That's right.
That will fill you with knowledge and understanding. All right. So, real quick, give me Colossians 3, verse 22. All right. Because this is the question that I had posed to someone not too long ago when we were talking about John 3:16. Because it sounds good that Christ is black, right? It sounds good that you could see cargo slave ships. Those things sound good. But then when it comes to there's no salvation for the other nations outside of the nation of Israel, then it's like, well, what about John 3:16, right? So we just read in the book of Isaiah that we learned our fear toward God by the precept of men, meaning we learned how to understand the Bible through those that had us in captivity and that continue to have us in captivity. Read on.
This is the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God.
Mm. Reading him from the top.
That's a heavy thing right there.
servants, obey in all things your master.
So that's the main thing that I want to bring out. All right. So this is the question that we pose. If they twisted this scripture to make it mean I can rape your women, rape your men, and beat your children, work you from sunrise until almost sunrise the next day, all right? They have remains of kids they found in New York, and their bones were worn down so bad, and you could tell that they died from hard labor at young ages. That's right. Slavery was in the North too. People like to think, oh no, it was in the South, but all the atrocities that were committed against us in slavery, they would do those things, and then they would read this. Read it again.
Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh.
You see that? And then they would say, see, but God says you got to obey your masters, right? Now, not knowing that this is talking about indentured servitude, like I use the example, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, all right? You got Jeffrey, who's the butler, all right? He doesn't get mistreated. He works for a wage. He works for the family.
Right.
That's all that's talking about. That's it. It's not talking about I can beat the SH out of you, work you all day, murder your children, right? Murder you for looking a white man in the eyes. That's not what I'm talking about. So if they can twist that scripture so much to make it seem like it's like that, then why is it so far-fetched that John 3:16 doesn't mean what we're taught it means?
Right. That's great. Can I read down a verse?
Yeah, of course.
You want me to read to finish this?
Yeah.
Okay. To the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God.
So that goes back into them saying that we learned our fear by the precept of men. They taught us to fear him over them fearing the one true God. Read.
And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men.
You want to bring something
up? I want to bring out the verse, chapter 4.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, bring it up.
Can I bring that up real quick?
Of course.
Because it's like you were saying, officer, they just use that verse and try to keep us in subjection, not reading this verse. Like he was going to the point of, you know, they're going to just read that to keep you in subjection. They're not going to read the verse down to teach you what it actually
right.
means.
Right. And that's because our people couldn't read the next verse because we couldn't read.
Exactly. So I'm going to read chapter 4, chapter 0, which they don't read to. This is the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven.
Mm.
So we got to understand that they're twisting that scripture in itself right there. So just like the officer was bringing out, how far-fetched would it be that they wouldn't twist John 3:16 and say, hey, you know what? We're not going to show you what the world means
right.
in John 3:16. We're not going to show you whosoever is the men of Israel. We're not going to show you all those things. We're not going to show you that the only begotten son only came from the nation of Israel.
That's right. Okay. Give me Psalms 83, verse 1. All right. Let's get the biblical explanation of where this started as far as keeping us asleep to the fact that we are the Israelites. All right. The best way to conquer a nation is to divide them up and teach them that they're African Americans. You guys are Jamaicans. You guys are Mexicans. You guys are Puerto Ricans. You guys are Cubans. You guys are Haitians. That's the best way to destroy us. When really, we're the same nation of people, the 12
right.
tribes of Israel. But read that.
The book is Psalms, chapter 83, verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God, and hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God.
So this is a prayer, all right, that we're asking here in these last days as well. Hear our cries in captivity. Now, again, we ain't right yet.
We're not. That's
the
true.
Lord cannot return tomorrow, because otherwise a lot of us will be getting put to death. All of us will be getting put to death, actually.
Right.
But we pray that the Lord makes the time short for the sick, all right? Because we're tired of being in captivity, all right? So we're at the Most High. That's why it's beautiful when he says, wait on me, for it is mine, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that we serve a God that is just, that says, no, I see the things that happen to you, but they happen to you for your own
good,
for your own disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
But when I come back, don't worry.
I got you.
Right.
That's the power that we serve. Are we done?
For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head.
And they that hate thee, meaning you, God, so guess what? People hate God. So yeah. Us as being God's children, we fall in the same line, inheriting those same enemies. Read on.
They have taken crafty counsel against thy people.
They have taken crafty counsel against thy people. Against thy people. Hold that real quick. Give me 1 Chronicles 17, verse 21. 1 Chronicles 17, 21. This is just a small example of precept must be upon.
The book of
1
Chronicles, chapter 17, verse 21. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people?
So thy people, Israel, whom God redeemed to be his own people, read on.
To make thee a name of greatness and terribleness by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt.
Read the next verse.
For thy people is Israel.
For thy people, Israel, read.
Didst thou make thine own people forever.
No, just in the Old Testament.
Make thy people forever.
All right, so he made Israel his people forever. Now let's go back to Psalms 83 and verse 3.
The book of Psalms, chapter 83, verse 3. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people.
So thy people, Israel, the other nations, all the nations outside of the nation of Israel, they have taken crafty counsel against us. One of the crafty counsels was teaching us that John 3:16 means God loves everybody. Mm. You know what? In the Old Testament, yeah, of course he chose Israel. We know that. We know that, guys. Jeez, calm down. But now we could be spiritual Israelites, and God loves everybody.
Bro.
Read on.
They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and have consulted against thy hidden ones.
And thy hidden ones are the same people, Israel. That's how are you hidden? Because now you're being called blacks. You went from being the finest gold, all right, on the earth, being gods of the earth, to being
men of the earth.
No, to be called a color,
right,
in a damn crown box.
That's true.
Read on.
They have said, "Come and let us cut them off from being a nation. The name of Israel may be no more in remembrance."
You can go to anybody on the street and say, "Hey." Do you know the name or the word Israel? They'll all say it's the
people.
Place is the place in the Middle East.
Exactly.
All right? But Israel was always a people before it was a place. All
right? That's right.
So the name of Israel is still in remembrance. What it's talking about is we don't remember that we're the Israelites according to the Bible. Read on.
For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you.
They are confederate. They had one consent. They came together, all right? And again, I mean, you got to at least, I get it. I would feel really upset, too, if I was told, no matter what I did, I'm not going to receive salvation. I mean, that's got to feel a certain way. But don't take it out on us. Take it up with God. And guess what? Your arms are way too short to box with God.
Right.
So, for those of you that may be listening that do subscribe to being Native Latin or Black on your father's side, because the lineage comes through your father.
That's right.
Rejoice in the fact that you are God's chosen people. All right? So they had that one consent. And one of the one consents was to teach us the fear towards God through him. We hear in these last days, it's funny because when you read the Bible and you know about the chariots and the second coming of Christ and all the destruction, it sounds like a sci-fi movie because that's what Esau did to teach our people.
That's right.
That man created God rather than the other way around.
Exactly.
So when you bring out truth to people, they're like, oh, man, that sounds far-fetched.
Yeah.
Because even now, when I really think about it, I'm like, that sounds like some crazy stuff. Us being taken up on chariots, which the world ignorantly calls UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are actually angels and chariots. What the world ignorantly calls the rapture.
Right.
All
right.
That's the one-third of Israel that's going to receive salvation. Those that came back and kept the laws in the faith of Christ, be taken up into what the world calls UFOs,
right?
To escape destruction. That sounds like that sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy. And you know what Esau's doing in their movies? They're psychologically preparing the world, the other nations, the heathen, our people that don't repent, to fight against God.
Oh, of course.
I mean, Christ. When is not gonna happen?
I like whenever there's an Edomite. Okay, Edomite is the biblical term. Nationality for the Caucasian race. Whenever it's like an Edomite or an Asian, you know, somebody, when they say, oh, I don't believe in God, I'm like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. power people are so like, when they say it, but they're so adamant about it, and they feel so strongly, no, 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 there's no God.
Mm.
I'm like, man, damn. Bro, don't you know you're the only one that actually has a God?
Right.
You're the only one that actually has a God. He's like, nah, nah. I had a conversation with a damn Isakarite the other day, and he was trying to tell me, he shook me like real deep about like, nah, there's no God, and there's no such thing. What did he say? Oh, it's time. Man created time. And I'm like, bro, I get it. You're trying to sound deep right now. But I'm like, when you look up, you see the cycle of the moon, right? That's how time was created.
Right.
God created that to give us time. so that way we knew how to keep weekly Sabbaths, our monthly feast days, our seasonal feast days. That's how time was created, not by man.
Bro, that's literally serving the creature more than the creator. Right.
That is.
Literally, he doesn't even know in his mind that he's serving the Caucasian man.
It was funny because like the way he said it to me, he was expecting me to be like, oh, that's deep. And I hit him with some common sense, and he was just like, all right, whatever. You know, we all have our own beliefs. And I walked away. I'm like, okay, bro. All right, let me get 2 Ezra 5, verse 22. Then I bring out a couple more scriptures, and then we're going to dive into John 3:16. 2 Ezra 5, verse 22, all right? We already proved that Israel was God's people forever, but let's get a little more on it.
This is the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 5, and verse 22. And my soul recovered the spirit of understanding, and I began to talk with the Most High again, and said, O Lord that bears rule of every wood of the earth, and of all the trees thereof, thou hast chosen the one only vine.
So now, as we read on, we're going to see that the Most High has favorites, all right? Just like you have a favorite pair of shoes, all right? When you want to feel good, when you go out, right, it's date night with the wife, you know, like some particular polo shirt that you want to throw on, you know, that makes you look a little slim, right? You have a favorite food. The Most High is the exact same way. He has a favorite everything. So it says that he has a favorite vine. Read on.
And of all the lands of the whole world has chosen thee one pit.
Read on.
And of all the flowers thereof one lily.
So the Most High has a favorite flower, that's that lily. Read on.
And of all the depths of the sea thou hast filled thee one river. And of all builded cities thou hast hollowed Zion unto thyself.
Jerusalem, read on.
And of all the fowls that are created thou hast named thee one dove.
So again, follow the pattern here. The Most High is saying of all these things that he's created, he has a particular favorite of all things. Read.
And of all the cattle that are made thou hast provided thee one sheep.
So now, we went through the different wood, right? The different fowls, the different cattle, the different cities, right? The different, what else did we read? The different rivers, right? The different flowers. Of all these things, he had one. So why won't we get to people also we're ignorant and say, no, he loves everybody? No.
Ooh.
Read the next verse.
And among all the multitudes of peoples.
Oh, among all the multitude of peoples. All right. Read.
Thou hast gotten thee one people.
And thou hast gotten thee one people. So of all the 18 nations, he chose one nation to be special to himself. Read.
And unto this people, whom thou lovest, thou gavest a law that is approved of all.
Give me Deuteronomy 4, verse 44 real quick. I didn't have it written down, but give me that real quick. Just to see who he gave his law to. Again, precept must be upon precept, all right? He says, and of all the people, he chose one and gave us them a law that is approved above all. Read.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 44. And is the law.
No. This is Christianity.
And this is the law.
No, this is Catholicism.
This is the law.
Though this is the law, read.
Which Moses set before the children of Israel.
Oh. There it is again, the children of Israel. So, of all the peoples, he chose one people and gave them a law. He gave the law to the nation of Israel. That's what set us apart to be from everybody else. You know a doctor by his uniform, all right? You know a policeman by his uniform, their countenance, the way they carry themselves.
Right.
You can know a cop even when he's outside of his uniform just by his demeanor. That's the same way with the Israelites. Right, our dress code, how we conduct ourselves toward each other, how we conduct ourselves with the other nations. That's what sets us apart in the law that the Lord gave us. All right? Give me Jeremiah 31, verse 35. And then you give me Malachi 3, verse 6. A couple more scriptures, and then we're going to get to John 16. All right? Again, the call number is 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. Feel free to call in with any questions or comments. All right, again, today's topic is the true understanding of John 3:16, what pastor won't tell you. Jeremiah 31, verse 35.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name.
So the Lord created the sun and the moon and the sea and everything else. Read on.
If those ordinances depart from before me.
So last I checked, we can still see the sun.
That's right.
And the moon.
Right.
All right. And then in the various ordinances that the Most High created in the beginning in Genesis. Read.
Saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever.
So because there's still the sun and the moon, guess what? Israel is still his chosen people forever. Because that's what that argument is. They'll say, well, you know what? That was the Old Testament. Now we're all grafted in. Or they'll say, well, the Israelites were done away with. You know what? To this day, I still haven't had anybody provide a scripture to me to say the Israelites are done away with.
Right.
That makes no sense.
Or they say that, you know, they go into scriptures where nations and tongues and kindreds, we're all Israel some way, so it's all, the Israelites are all here, but.
It's funny, because then you just give them the precept that we would go into slavery into all nations, and it's like, that's what it's talking about. All nations is talking about
right.
those that subscribe to being African-American, or those that subscribe to being Haitian or Jamaican.
Just like Bishop said, can you be a spiritual Chinese?
No. Right. You can't wake up tomorrow and say, you know, I just want to be Arabic.
Allah
Akbar, kaboom.
It doesn't work that way. Just like the dude at work recently told me, he said, hey, so, you know, like, how do I become a Israelite? I'm like, bro, you are an Israelite.
Sure.
I was like, you conduct yourself as a heathen. You have heathen tendencies and a heathen mindset. I said, but you are an Israelite. Like you can't not be an Israelite. That's who you are. That's who you be.
Damn, man.
But it is what it is. So we're still the chosen people of God forever, all right, based upon the fact that we can still see these ordinances. Plus, based upon the simple fact that the Most High is not a liar.
Right.
All right?
Exactly.
He said, you will be my people forever. And the book of Malachi 3 says what? I'm the Lord, I will change not. Read that.
The book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not.
For I am the Lord, I change not. So he's not going to, and we understand, the Most High don't see time the way that we see time. He created them for us.
Right?
He's not going to say, okay, you're my chosen people, and then later on and say, nah, you know what, never mind. Never mind. That's actually what makes him such a great and powerful God, the fact that we can be so disobedient to his commandments and him still say, you know what, I still love you and I'm still going to redeem you.
Get yourself right.
Fix your face.
Exactly.
Get yourself right. All right, from there, let's get it. John 3:16.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly.
John 3:16.
See, brother.
This is the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Uh-oh.
Close the Bible.
Close the book. Close the book. Chills. See, brother? For God so loved the world. Hope that. Give me Isaiah 28, verse 10. Because we touched on earlier, we made the statement, precept must be upon precept. But let's get the actual scripture before we actually start breaking it down.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little.
It says for precept must be. It doesn't say should be. It's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. People like to think that If it doesn't say thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not steal, then it's not a commandment. All right. There's laws, statutes, and commandments. All right. They're all one and the same. Okay. So he says for precept must be upon precept. That's a commandment he's given to the nation of Israel on how to read his word, coupled with keeping of the commandments, of course, because that's the only way that you get the understanding thereof. All right, but let's go back. John 3:16 again.
The book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him did not perish, but have everlasting life.
It says, for God so loved the world. All right. First and foremost, you don't open up a book in the very middle and then think that you're going to get the understanding thereof. Just like you don't turn on a movie and start it from the middle and then it ends and you're like, oh my goodness, that movie was really good. You're going to be like, what the hell was this? So let's jump down to verse 1. All right, let's keep it in this full context. Let's understand what the Bible is trying to tell us here. All right.
The book of John, chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews.
So we have to understand here, keeping this context, when you see verse 1, that there was a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the who?
A ruler of the Jews.
At this time, the Jews consisted of the southern kingdom of Israel. All right, you'll never understand the New Testament while reading the Old Testament and understanding that the history of the split in the nation of Israel, all right, who we call today the natives and Latins, who was the northern kingdom of Israel, they broke off, went into idolatry, and then the southern kingdom of Israel remained, which was Judah, Benjamin, Levi. That's who the world today calls blacks, African Americans, Haitians, West Indians, all right, Jamaicans, Trinidad and Tobago, so on and so forth, all right? But he said he's a ruler of the Jews. So we have to understand that he's speaking to a Jew, all right? Christ was a Jew. He's speaking to his own people. Read on.
The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him.
All right, Alvarez, let me stop there. So I want to just make the point that Christ was talking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Give me John 3 and jump to verse 14. Funny, because you bring this out to people, all you say is, if you really want to understand John 3:16, just jump up two verses and read John 3:14, and then he explains it.
Exactly.
But again, our people don't want to come out of that sin. They don't want to come out of that feel-good feeling.
Right.
Nah, brother. That's your own interpretation. But let's read this.
This is the book of John, chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
So, and as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So let's see who Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness to. Give me Numbers 21, verse 8. Number 21, verse 8. He's saying the exact same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness is the same way that I'm going to be lifted up in these last days. Read on.
The book of Numbers, chapter 21, and verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it up upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live.
So now, if you read this history, you gotta understand that Israel was murmuring and backbiting against the Lord, all right, because we're rebellious as hell as a people. So the Lord sent fiery serpents amongst the children of Israel, and they were biting them, all right, poisonous serpents. So he said, take you, all right, he said, and make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. All right. That's why when you see like an ambulance, hospitals, they have the serpent wrapped on a pole. All right. That's what they get from this right here. The people that looked upon it were healed. Read.
And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he had beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched on in Abba.
You know what? Jump up to verse 6 real quick. Let's just, because people say, well, you know what? There was a mixed multitude that went out from Egypt, which is true. All right. But the other nations that came out with us, They didn't receive salvation. I mean, it's common sense, bro. If I'm somewhere in captivity, right, and all of a sudden I see a chance to flee, I'm going. I ain't gonna sit back and be like, oh no, like no, that's not for me. I'll catch the next bus. No, you're gonna take off and get it too. But the other nations that came out of Egypt with us, they came out to be our servants forever. In the book of Leviticus 25, but read verse 6 real quick.
Numbers 21, verse 6. And the Lord set fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died.
So much people of Israel died, all right? That's who the Lord sent the fiery serpents against. Why? Because Israel was giving the laws, the commandments to follow, all right? So much people of Israel died. So we go back to John 3 and verse 14 again.
The book of John, chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness.
So when the people of Israel were being bitten by the fiery serpents, made a serpent onto a pole, and those of the children of Israel that looked upon it lived. Read.
Even so.
So the same way
must the Son of Man be lifted up.
So the way that they looked upon that, and then they saw that, and they lived. Now, many people didn't look upon it, and then they died. All right. So the same way we receive salvation through our I don't call it salvation, but the way our people lived by looking at that fiery serpent on the pole, Christ is saying it's the same way in these last days. I'm gonna be lifted up and be the savior of the nation of Israel.
That's right.
That's all he's saying. Because unbeknownst to Christianity, ready? Here we go. Bombshell. There was no New Testament when Christ walked the earth.
Right.
So Christ had to be quoting the Old Testament, all right? And that's exactly what he did when he quoted John 3:16. And we're going to continue, all right, again, upon precept. For it must be upon precept. Here, there, all right? Mm-hmm. So now jump to John 3:16 once again.
John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
All right, John 3:16. Let's break it down precept upon precept. Let's start with the word God. Let's go to Joel 2:27. If you guys got any scriptures that you guys want to bring out as we go along, please feel free to do so. I mean, there's so many precepts that you can go to for any one of these words, but we're going to keep it basic. That's what we decided to do here on Wednesday nights, going back to basics.
That's right.
Because we're trying to reach those that are unrepentant, and we tend to forget that things like the true understanding of John 3:16 or the true image of Christ is not taught. It's not coming amongst our people. So we got to start bringing out these things that are easy to be understood for our people. All right, Joel 2 verse 27.
The book of Joel chapter 2 and verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel.
That I am in the midst of who?
I am in the midst of Israel.
So we should know that God is in the midst of Israel, you so-called natives, Latins and blacks, read.
And that I am the Lord your God.
The Lord your God, not the Lord of everyone's God. He says, I'm the Lord of your God, read.
And none else.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Christians don't like to hear that.
That's beautiful.
They do not like to hear that. They know, not my Jesus. He says, I'm the Lord your God and none else. There's nothing wrong with knowing that the one true God is your God, but you let the Stockholm Syndrome seep in real, real deep in the recesses of your brain. You say, nope. But John 3:16 says, brother. but that's why we're taking it precept upon precept. All right?
And scripture says that in the latter days, some are going to be seared with the hard iron, man. That's Christianity.
Bro, going back to what you said before, all right? Going back to exactly what you said before, that with the strong delusions, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Our people, it says if anyone be ignorant, then let them be ignorant.
Right, exactly.
At the end of the day, all right, we understand that salvation is only going to be for the one-third of the nation of Israel that repent in the faith in Christ and keep the commandments. So our job is to not to give everybody to repent, because I used to be pissed, man, when I would bring it up, precept upon precept. I'd be like, bro, like, what are you not seeing that like I'm bringing out to you? Right. And I get pissed, like, and like, like, man, you know, walk away all pissed off. But then it's like, yo, like no, like, my blood is no longer, but they're no longer on my hands. Bro.
Right.
You know?
As soon as we've been going on a fire mission, then I used to be like, here, call the Obama, the so-called Black Hispanic Native Americans. So it's like, now I make it a little shorter for myself. You're an Israelite, brother, keep the commandments.
That's what it comes down to.
You know what I mean?
Just give him the literature, let that speak for himself,
you know,
all right?
Hey, brother, can I give you a flyer?
The
no.
sower soweth the word.
Exactly.
That's it. Just sow the word, that's it. You know, I pray for patience a lot. Because patients can deal with anything. How we deal with our spouses, how we deal with our non-believing family, how we deal with our job, and things like this. When I go out and teach, and I'm bringing precept upon precept, and I'm bringing out basic things too. Well, things that we think are basic, and
right.
we have to stop saying that because it's not so basic,
no.
right? But when we have the patience with our people, and we're bringing out precept upon precept to understand the true image of Christ, or that we can't eat pork and other unlawful foods. We can't celebrate these holidays that the nations have taught us, all right? And by the way, those that may be listening, Halloween is of the devil.
That's right.
Okay? It's not biblical, all right? And you are in the midst of sin, according to Colossians 2, verse 8, by partaking in that garbage. But anyways, things like John 3:16, all right? Being patient with them. Because I used to get really impatient and be like, yo, like, what the hell?
Right.
But then I got to tell myself, nah, you know what? Me and your call book, you are chosen.
Yes.
That's it. That is it. You know, because it's like, man, you got it too. Like, when you first start learning the breakdowns, you're like, oh, man, I can't wait to bring this out. Some fire. And you finally get to bring it out.
Yeah.
And you're being patient, bringing it out to somebody. Or you can bring about anything, right? Slave ships, like all the curses, right? To really tie it into the history to them. And then they look at you and say, well, what about the white man? That's the first question, right? And then you try to deflect that question. That way they don't let that be their stumbling block. And then at the very end, they say, well, John 3:16. Then they walk away. It is what it is. But
it's just who we are.
No, it does. It does. But you know what? The scripture says, be angry, but sin not.
Exactly.
Right? So we can be pissed because we sigh and we cry for the abominations of our people. But at the end of the day, all we can do is what we are called to do, and that's to spread the gospel the way it's meant to be spread and sow the word, and it's the Most High that gives the increase.
Exactly.
All right? So read that again, though. Joel 2, verse 27.
Joel 2 and 27. And you shall know that I am the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else.
Those are, that's a particular word. He says, your. He didn't say, and I'm the Lord, all God, everyone's God.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and then he comes back to even really nail it home and say, and none else.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, anyone that you want to try and bring into this, you can't do it. All right? Psalm 96, verse 5, real quick. Real quick. Let's bring it out. And then you get Amos 3. We got to bring that out, too. That's a perfect precept for
it is.
For Joel 2. Because our people like to get ignorant.
The book of Psalms, chapter 96, and verse 5. For all the gods of the nations are idols.
Who? All right, so Krishna and Buddha and Allah and whatever other pagan god.
Caesar Bo.
All right, exactly, Caesar Borgia. All right, for those that think that the image that the world has of Christ is actual depiction of the Messiah, all you got to do is read Revelations 1, verse 14 and 15 and see that Christ was a black man according to the Bible.
That's right.
But he says that they're idols. They're nothing. They're nothing. There's no power in these things, all right? Only you native Latins and blacks actually have the one true God, all right? And that's the God of the nation of Israel and none else. But give me Amos 3.
The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 1.
Because we got to really hammer these things home for our people. Because our people can't just go off one precept. They got to hear multiple things, right? Read.
Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel.
Man, I'm telling you, the Bible is so redundant. It says the same things. It says, hear the word the Lord has spoken to you, O children of Israel, read.
Against the whole family which I have brought up from the land of Egypt.
The whole family, meaning all 12 tribes, all right? Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Ephraim, Manasseh, Simeon, Zebulun, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Issachar, and Naphtali.
That's right.
All the nations of Israel. He is your God and none else. Read on.
Saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth.
Oh, my goodness. You only have I known, all right? That talks about, that includes the Ishmaelites.
That's right.
The Elamites. All right. The Hittites, the Perizzites, the Edomites, the Amalekites.
All this. All
right. The Moabites. All right. Any nation outside of the nation of Israel, God says, I didn't know you. Read on.
Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquity.
Iniquity, when you read in the book of Psalms 38, verse 18, is sin. All right. Therefore, you will be punished for all the sin that you committed against the one true God of Israel. That's why when you read in the book of Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 through 68, those curses came to pass for our people. All right. Having our heritage stripped from us. All right. Our heritage is our land, our laws, our language. We had everything stolen from us. We went into slavery on cargo slave ships. We had yokes of iron on our necks. Our nationalities were changed. Our women were raped in front of us, and there's nothing that we can do about it. Our children were taken from us, and they were sold to the other nations in slavery. And there's nothing that we can do about it. Because why? Because it was the scriptures. Matter of fact, get it real quick. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 48. Let's get it real quick. This is why there's nothing that we can do about these things that came up on us. Read that.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 48. Therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies.
So for breaking the commandments, all right, and not doing what the one true God said, but rather than doing what the nation said, read.
Shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee.
Wait, who sent our enemies?
Which the Lord shall send against thee.
So the same way we did a joke earlier and said, if you have a problem with not being chosen by God, then take it up with him. But your arms are too short to box with God. Same thing with this. Our arms were way too short for God. So he said, do this or you'll receive this punishment. And we receive that punishment, and we continue to receive that punishment today.
Right.
But all praise the Most High, he sent his son in the flesh to come bear the iniquity of his people Israel. And we have a chance to come back to repent as the Israelites, keep the commandments, and Lord's will inherit the kingdom of God. All right. Let's go back real quick to John 3:16.
I'll say something real quick.
Of course, yeah, bring it up.
Therefore, that's for sure. The thing about that is, Israel, or you Latins, you natives, Latins, and blacks, you got to understand that the Most High put curses on you. He said you're going to serve your enemies. So why would the other nations need a savior?
Exactly. You know what? Matter of fact, bring that out real quick. Luke 1, verse 68.
Exactly.
Bring that out real quick, too. Kind of spinning off the topic, but that's an excellent point that the soldier brought out. It's what do you have to say? Luke 1, verse 68.
Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
So this is the New Testament. It says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Read.
For he hath visited and redeemed his people.
Israel. Read.
And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. The
horn of salvation is Christ, who he raised up for us. The Israelites, read.
As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophet.
Because every single one of the prophets spoke of the coming of the Messiah to be the savior of the nation of Israel.
Which has been since the world began.
Because every is one on one, all right? The mission's always been about Christ, read on.
That we should be saved from our enemies.
That's the whole purpose of salvation, is to be saved from our enemies, all right? Those that continue to reign over you today. Don't just because you don't have physical yokes of iron, all right, or brass around your ankles that you're no longer in captivity. You now suffer from the worst captivity, you know, mental bondage. You think you're free. That's the worst kind. Martin Luther's dream can completely destroy us as a people. All right, his dream was a damn nightmare. The worst thing that happened to us as a people was integration. But the worst thing that happened to the so-called white man in the other nations was letting us learn how to read.
Yeah, exactly.
It says, through the foolishness of preaching, they will save those that believe.
That's a beautiful scripture, right?
It really is. So we learn the gospel the way it's supposed to be, and we go out and teach our people.
And it says that he has chosen base things of this world.
That's right.
So when I'm like, oh, dang, I'm the lowest of the low, I'll praise to be to the Most High. Because guess what? By the faith in keeping these commandments, I'm going to bring this kingdom down, brother.
He said, you know what? When I sit back and I say, I'm the lowest of the low.
All praises, bro.
Hey, all praises. That's what's up. Let's go back to John 3:16.
This is the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world.
Hold on real quick. Read it again slow.
For God.
So the God of Israel. We just brought that out in Joel 2 and Amos 3.
So loved.
So loved. So now, again, we got to dissect his words, all right? Loved, E-D, meaning past tense, mm-hmm. All right? So let's go to Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 through 8, and see who the Most High loved in the past tense.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself.
So you natives, Latin and blacks, were chosen by God to be special unto himself. Read.
Above all people.
It says above all people, not equal to. We can seek to fight for equality. Every nation outside of your nation, God says you're above them. Read.
The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people.
Read.
For you were the fewest of all people.
So he says that God didn't choose us because we were the biggest nation at the time, but we were the smallest nation. Read on.
But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers.
But because the Lord what?
Because he would keep the oath.
No.
Because the Lord loved you.
Because the Lord loved you, you natives, Latins, and blacks. But because the Lord loved you. So when God so loved, he's talking about the love he had for you since the beginning. It was ordained that he would always love only you. Read.
Because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers.
The oath that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been broken. All praise to the Most High for our righteous forefathers and us being of the same blood lineage of them, that the oath he made unto them. He said, you know what, for their sakes, I can't be found a liar, so I'm going to redeem these people in other days. Read.
Had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
All praises. So don't think that your captivity started here in the transatlantic slave trade in 1619, all right? Our people were always rebellious in slavery. Our slavery started back in Egypt. All right, the same people that walked through the Red Sea when the Lord used Moses to part the water. That was you natives, Latins, and blacks that were walking through that thing right there. All right, so let's go back to John.
I'm going to pull another precept for love.
Yeah, bring it out, of course.
Just to prove to our people that the Most High loves Athens, Israel, 2 Chronicles 9 and 8.
Oh, yeah, bring that out. Bring that up.
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 9 and verse 8,
is written everywhere in the Bible. It's written in Deuteronomy, like the officers bringing out. It's written in multiple captivities and when we were ruling as well.
2 Chronicles 9 and 8. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne,
mm-hmm.
to be a king for the Lord thy God,
mm-hmm.
because the Lord God loved Israel.
God loved Israel. That's proven that against so-called Latin, you so-called Latins, natives, and blacks. Read.
Establish them forever.
So that's letting you know that Israel's not going nowhere, just like the author was bringing out. The sun, the moon, the stars, the ordinances, if they don't depart, Israel is here forever, forever, ever.
Forever, ever?
That's forever, ever.
You know what? I mean, I got another one, too, to bring out for love. This is Isaiah 43, verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Uh-oh, thy Savior. Okay. It says, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life.
That's beautiful, man.
There can't be deliverance without destruction.
Right.
The same way that the Most High destroyed Egypt and the other nations for our sakes, do the same thing here in these last days. You think Christ is going to have joint rulership with Donald Trump? Are you kidding me? On that day and on that hour, all right, the Most High is going to send his son back, who's going to destroy the nations in order for us to be saved. And we give all glory, praise, and honor to the Most High and Christ.
That's right.
Let's see. From there, let's go back to John 3:16. Actually, you know what? Real quick, give me Ecclesiastes in the 66 verse 1 and it jumps to verse 8. Because if he loved particular people, the opposite of love is hate. So he has to understand that he also hates a particular people too.
What chapter?
3 verse 1.
This is the book of Ecclesiastes.
Because people will say, no, God is that. God is that. All right? If you're capable of having emotions like happiness or sadness, love, and hate, then so is the Creator, because he's the one that put those emotions and feelings into you in the first place.
God said he's a jealous God.
Right, exactly. John?
This is the book of Ecclesiastes, verse 1. To everything there is a season.
So to everything there is a season. All right, now jump down to verse 8, because they'll say, no. No, we can't love. I mean, no, we can't. It's just all love. Read verse 8.
Verse 8. A time to love.
There is a time to love. Absolutely. Read.
And a time to hate.
Uh-oh. There is a time to hate. All right? So the Most High does hate. All right? And actually, the Most High actually hates a particular nation of people, too. Give me Romans 9:13 real quick.
Sure.
And then, Soldier Ashai, you give me 2 6, verse 54.
Oh, great. This is the book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 13. As it is written.
As it is written. It was written first in the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Read.
Jacob have I loved.
Jacob's name was changed to Israel. That's who you natives, Latins, and blacks in his last days. It says, Jacob have I loved. Read.
But Esau have I hated.
Esau, all right, whose name was changed to Edom, is the biblical nationality for the Caucasian race today. It says, Esau have I hated. And for anyone that may be ignorant, say, oh, well, that's just one person. No, in the book of Malachi, it says the people in which he has any nation forever.
Mm.
But let's get more on that. Isaiah, or 2 Ezra 6, verse 54.
2 Ezra chapter 6, verse 54. And after these, Adam also, whom thou madest Lord of all thy creatures.
They'll say, oh, man, we all come from Adam. We're all one people. John? Say, yeah, you come from Adam. John.
And the people also,
read,
whom thou hast chosen.
So now he makes a difference. Of all the people that come from Adam, he chose a particular people. That's the nation of Israel. Read.
All these have I spoken before thee, O Lord, because thou madest the world our sakes. As for the other people.
Now, as for the other people, the other 17 names that God created in the book of Genesis, read.
Which also come of Adam.
They also come from Adam. Read.
Thou hast said that they are nothing.
God says that the other nations are nothing. Read.
But like unto spittle.
Does that spit that comes out of your mouth when you're talking to like somebody? God says that's what they're like. Read.
And has likened the abundance of them unto a drop that falls from a vessel.
You see, you could take them all, and they're like the abundance that falls from a drop from a vessel. When you're walking with a bucket of water, and a little single drop falls.
Mm.
You don't stress over the drop. You don't go back and say, oh my goodness.
No.
This one drop fell. That's what the Most High compares the nations to. All right. Was that on that?
No, that was it.
All right. I'll praise you. And look back to John 3:16. I got about 11 minutes left.
The book of John, chapter 3, verse 16.
Read it slow.
For God so loved the world.
So for the God of Israel. So loved the nation of Israel
that he gave his only begotten son.
Oh, no, wait. Let's go back to the world real quick. Real quick. Give me Hebrews 1, verse 2. And then, Soldier Nehemiah, you give me Isaiah 5, verse 17.
Yes, sir.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things.
So Christ is the heir of all things. That's why he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Read.
By whom also he made the world.
The worlds. Plural. Plural. Okay. Just like there's the sports world and there's the animal world.
That's all right.
One of the definitions of a world is just a common class of people with same interests and goals. All right. Our interest is serving the Lord in sincerity and truth in the faith of his son by keeping his laws.
Right.
The goal was to inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
So he created numerous worlds, all right? He created the world of the Edomites. He created the world of the Ishmaelites, or the Arabs today. He also created the world of Israel, all right? Read that.
It's the the book of Isaiah, chapter 45 and verse 17.
So now, again, I made the comment earlier that when Christ walked the earth, there was no such thing as the New Testament. So when Christ spoke, he didn't make up his own words, all right? He spoke the Old Testament. And this is what Christ is actually quoting when he quotes John 3:16. Read.
But Israel shall be saved in the Lord, then everlasting salvation.
There it is again. Israel shall be saved in the Lord, with an everlasting salvation. Read.
Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded.
Never again shall we be ashamed, because now we're no longer under the guise that we're African Americans or blacks or Mexicans. All right. We're now rising up and knowing that we are the sons and daughters of the living. Never again are we ashamed of these things. It says, nor confounded. Why? Because we can go precept upon precept and pull things out of these scriptures to actually be able to identify that we are the chosen people. Let God be true and every man a liar. Read.
World without end.
Uh-oh, there's the word again. World. World without end. So when John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he's referring to the world of Israel. Give me John 17, verse 9. And someone will get John 18, verse 20. Let's go to the New Testament out of Christ's mouth to fully establish the world. He's talking about the world of Israel.
The book of John, chapter 17, verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world.
Uh-oh. That sounds like a contradiction. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. All right? In this particular context, when he says I pray for them, he's praying for the nation of Israel, because that's who Christ was sent for. When you read the book of Matthew 1, it says that he shall die for his people, his possessive. Because again, and we have to go through it sometime, Christ actually had a lineage. Right? He came from the seed of David, the seed meaning sperm. All right? Christ was an Israelite from the tribe of Judah. All right? His people are the Israelites.
Officer, it's going to expound.
No, yeah.
Right, you know what I mean?
It says, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, meaning the other people amongst the world, the other nations. Read.
I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me.
Whom thou hast given me. And we're going to get a precept later on to show who actually was given to Christ. But if you just read that like that, that sounds like a contradiction.
Right.
But God so loved the world. You're right. That's why we went to precept to show that God of Israel loved Israel, the world of Israel. Give me John 18, verse 20.
This is the book of John, chapter 18, verse 20. Jesus answered, I spake openly to the world.
So now, was Jesus ever in Central America teaching the gospel? Was he ever in Australia? No, right? He wasn't ever in Canada, right? Hello, eh? he was never in these places. So when he's referring, when he says, I spake open to the world, he's talking about the world of Israel. As the soldier reads on, it's going to prove it. Read.
I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews also always resort.
The Jews. So the world that he spoke open to was the world of the Jews. All right? Israelites. Man, that's easy to understand.
That's beautiful.
Let's go back to John 3:16 again.
This is the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 16. For God,
the Israel,
so loved
the nation of Israel,
the world
of Israel,
that he gave his only begotten son.
So let's see who his only begotten son was given to. Matthew 15, verse 24. Matthew 15 and verse 24.
The book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Is that written in red letters?
It is.
It is. So that means that that's coming out of Christ now, right?
Mm.
And last I checked, in order for Christ to be the ultimate atonement for sin, he had to be perfect, right? And last I checked, lying is a sin.
That is.
So the Messiah can be lying when he said what? Read it again.
I am not sent but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
But meaning only. He said, I am not sent, but are only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, again, people want to say, well, that changed in the writings of Paul. But the Lord said, the scripture says that God said, this is my son who I'm well pleased, hear ye him. So who are you going to lean on, Paul or Christ? Paul was a follower of Christ.
Exactly. Right. Follow me as I am a follower of Christ.
Right.
Dang, man.
Can I bring out some Paul say real quick?
Yeah, of course.
Give me Romans 10.
Oh, yeah.
Get that. Let's see what Paul said.
The book of Romans, chapter 10, and verse 1.
Let's see if Paul has the same thought.
Brethren, my heart desires.
His heart's desire is what?
And prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved.
So that's what it's talking about. They're going to be saved by Christ, the black Messiah. That's what it's talking about. Paul wasn't given anything else.
Right. Nothing else whatsoever. So we'll read Matthew 15, verse 24 again.
Matthew 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
So out of Christ's own mouth, he only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Lord's will, we'll do a Jews and Gentiles episode, right? Because a lot of people get ignorant and say, oh, no, you know, he also went to the Gentiles too. Not knowing the history, not knowing that there was that split in the kingdom, but those that he went to that were Gentiles, they were actually Israelites following Gentile customs. All right? But must go upon, and we'll do that at a different time. He has a whole episode off for it. So let's go back to John 3, verse 16 again.
The book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world.
So the God of Israel so loved the nation of Israel, that the world of Israel, read.
That he gave his only begotten son.
His only begotten son was given to the nation of Israel as the ultimate sacrifice for the atonement of sin, read.
That whosoever.
Uh-oh, there it is. Even though we went precept upon precept to prove God loved world begotten,
right,
they'll still say, oh, but we got you. It says whosoever. Not knowing that every single book has an author and a targeted audience that is trying to reach.
Right.
The author of this Bible, they were all Israelites. Moses was an Israelite. Okay? All the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all right, Samuel,
right,
everybody was an Israelite.
Even in the Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews.
Exactly. So, who are they trying to target? They're trying to target Israelites. It's just like you subscribe to a Muslim fitness magazine. Why? Because you like working out. You don't get a Muslim fitness magazine. You want to get recipes on how to make your food taste just like McDonald's. Gluttonous and fat. It makes no sense.
Right.
But read that real quick.
The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 21.
This explains the whosoever.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever,
there's the word, and it came to pass that whosoever,
shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Oh, close the book there. They'll say, see, brother, it says whosoever. Now, mind you, the book of Acts is after the four gospels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, so let's see.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Whosoever shall be saved, read.
Ye men of Israel.
Ye men of everybody.
Ye men of Israel.
Ye men of Israel, or women, because the Bible is written in a masculine form, all right? Salvation is only open for you men and women of the nation of Israel, read.
Hear these words, Jesus, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know.
So the whosoever in John 3:16, we got 45 seconds, read it again real quick.
The book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God.
So God of Israel.
So loved.
Loved the nation of Israel.
The world.
The world of Israel.
That he gave his only begotten son.
To be the ultimate sacrifice for the nation of Israel.
That whosoever
amongst Israel comes back and keeps the commandments and the faith of him, read.
Believeth in him. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
So that's the message, Israel. Choose life. Come back, you so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. You are the Israelites the Bible speaks of. You're the greatest thing God ever created. Come out of the Gentile customs, all right? These episodes get uploaded as a podcast. Share. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Then just hit in episode, right?
Yeah, just an episode.
And it says, are you sure we're in episode? In episode?
Yeah.